It'd be unkind not to take just a moment of time to express my appreciation for your presence today to worship the God of heaven. Always enjoy being with my brethren, and it's good to see this number out on this Lord's Day morning. I recognize we have a lot of challenges with health and different things, and yet, my friends, we're thankful that we can worship the God of heaven. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Lovell has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where you can be baptized into Christ this morning and have your sins forgiven and be added to the family of God and enjoy every spiritual blessing in the Son of God. Or if you need to be restored while we're standing and singing, we'll be praying within our heart this morning you'd make your decision to be restored unto Christ. This morning, if you take your Bible and turn back to the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter, Brother Moss read wonderfully the verses that we want to study this morning. But I want to go back and read verses 49 and 50 so it's fresh in our mind. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Last Lord's Day morning, when we made a study, we talked about the marvels of heaven. And we talked about how beautiful heaven must be. And we made a discussion from the Word of God about the marvels of heaven. But this morning, I want us to think about something else. And I recognize this kind of preaching is not popular in our day and time. And yet, my friend, if the Bible reveals it, it must be proclaimed. And what I want to talk about for just a few moments of our time is the horrors of hell. I want us to understand that hell is a real place. I recognize this morning that many people think that there is no place called hell. And I recognize that many people who claim to be scholars in higher education will say that hell is not real, that that's an outdated teaching. But I want to tell you, my beloved friend, I don't care what anyone said. If the Bible claims it's true, it's true. And I need to go back to the Bible because that's God's revelation. And God is the one who tells us about life beyond the grave. Man can speculate about life beyond the grave, but only God knows about life beyond the grave. And He's revealed to us about the marvels of heaven, but He's also warned us about the horrors of hell. And you know, when you read in the book of Matthew and the 13th chapter, you'll read where he talks about there will be a separation. That there will be the just who will be rewarded. And he talked about the wicked. And if you have your Bible, underscore wicked. And I want us to talk about that there will be a day when there will be a separation. As it said in Psalm 1, the wheat and the chaff will be separated. And that which is the chaff will be cast into the fire, a furnace of hell. So I want to talk about the horrors of hell. The first thing I want us to talk about, hell will be a horror because it's a place of eternal fire. Now I recognize this morning that many people beg to differ with that. But you know, every time I read in my Bible from Jesus on, he talked about that place being a place of eternal fire. Look back in Matthew 13 again and notice the statement that is made by Jesus. Notice what he said, and cast them into the furnace of fire. Now some people say, well, that's just symbolic of pain. But notice time and time again when Jesus talks about hell, he talks about fire. And I would that I could get into the minds of people. Jesus is saying that this is a place of eternal torment, a place of fire. But then if you take your Bible, look again and notice that the Bible again proclaims it's a place of fire. Look in Matthew 18 for just a moment. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 18th chapter, look at what Jesus said in verse 9. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Underscore hell fire. And notice at this time that Jesus is saying that it would be better to be physically handicapped in this life. It would be better to pluck out your eye or do whatever causes you to be lost than to be lost for eternity. He said it would be better to be handicapped and maimed here than to lose your soul in eternal damnation. And so thus far, I've looked at that and I see that hell is horrible. It's a place of horror because of fire. But then if you take your Bible, look in the Revelation letter and the 19th chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the 19th chapter, notice what is said again at this time by John in verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, I'm not dealing with the first part of that at this time. That's talking about Rome. But I want you to look at that latter part. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Then in the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter, you'll find again, it talks about in verse 14, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So I want us to understand the horror of hell, because it is a place that is filled with fire and eternal pain. You know, my beloved friend, if I could get into the hearts of men and women, the fear of hell, the fact that it is eternal and the fact that it is a place of torment, I think we would have a certain respect for the love of God to save us from that place. But then secondly, I want to tell you that hell will be a whore because of its inhabitants. You think about the people that make up hell. Go back to Matthew 13, 15. Look, he said, the wicked. Have you ever thought about the wicked? Have you ever thought about all the ungodly people, all the people who've lived in such an ungodly age and in such an ungodly way, they're going to be cast into the furnace of fire. And the last thing you want to do is spend eternity in a place with its inhabitants. In the 14th Psalm in verse 1, you'll remember the Bible said that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So people who do not believe in God, people who are atheists, people who live without any morals, they're going to make up the place of hell. But then if you take your Bible, look in the Psalm 9. In the 9th Psalm, look at verse 17. And notice that the nations that do not follow God will be cast into hell. Notice verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now then, the individual and the nation, the rulers that make up nations that do not treat God with respect will be cast into eternal damnation. So I think about that place called hell and I think about its inhabitants and I realize the most wicked, vile individuals that have ever lived will be in that place. But I'll tell you, my friend, not only that, wicked angels will be there. Take your Bible and look in the book of Jude for just a moment. And when you come to that little epistle written by Jude, notice what he says in verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. Now then, take your Bible and look in 2 Peter chapter 2. And when you come to 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter has the same kind of thought. Look at what he says in verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So one thing I know this morning is hell will be made up of angels that have rebelled against God and people who've rebelled against God. But then if you take your Bible, I'll tell you someone else who will be in hell. Ones whose names are not in the book of life. Look in your Bible back in the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter again. And when you come back to Revelation 20, look at what he said in verse 15. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is eternal separation from God. That means that one will never have contact with light again. One will never be able to speak to God again. So when I look at hell and I think of its inhabitants, I think about people who do not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their names are not in the book of life. Look again in Matthew 25. And when you come to Matthew 25, look at what is said in about verse 41. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, he said, "Then he will say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Why? Because they did not do what God had told them to do. They made up the wicked. Now then, so I want us to understand so far the horror of hell is because it will be a place of eternal fire, and it will be because of its inhabitants. But I want to tell you someone else who will be there. I want you to take your Bible and notice carefully what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I would that I could get this into the hearts of men and women. You know, some people say, "Well, you're just sending people to hell." My friend, I don't have that power. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says. And you measure what I say by the Word of God. I'm asking you to open your Bible and look at what God has said. And notice what he says in verse 8. In verse 8, he said, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Now look again very carefully what he said. And notice what he said. He said he'll take vengeance on those who do not know God. And look at that second part very carefully. And those who do not obey the gospel. Now there are many people tonight around Athens and everywhere else that'll say one doesn't have to be obedient to the gospel. But I want to tell you the beloved Apostle Paul said that if you do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hellfire. Now that's not popular and that's not pleasant, but I want to tell you, my friend, that's the truth of God's Word. And God pity the day that we don't preach about it. And God pity the day that we don't warn people about the inhabitants of hell. But then think again. Hypocrites will be there. You know, it's always amazed me that people have come to me and used hypocrites as an excuse not to be a part of the church and not to attend the church. And yet, my friend, they want to spend eternity with them. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2 again. And notice again what the Apostle Peter had to say about hypocrites. And Peter says it in a very clear manner where one cannot but understand it. Look at what he says in verse 20. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." Now then, you know, tonight, this morning, my friend, there are people who are going to use hypocrites as an excuse. And you know, my friend, we don't use that anywhere else. We don't use that anywhere else to say, "Well, I'm not going to go because they're hypocrites." But we use it to try to justify not worshiping God. But you know, my friend, if you do not accept God and do His will, you'll spend eternity with the hypocrite. But then that brings up something else. You think about the ungodly that'll be there in Revelation 21:8. And notice again that this time the writer of God, John, talks about in verse 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now notice that's the second time he's mentioned second death. What is second death? That's eternal separation. Death is a separation. In James 2, he talked about as faith without works is dead, so is the body without the spirit. There's separation. So what is eternal separation? What is the second death? Eternal separation from God. Never being able to be reconciled to God. Never being able to pray to God again. Never being able to speak to Him and to bow to Him because you are in a place where God is not. Hell is not where God abides. That is where the lost abide. That is a place that was not prepared for man, but for the devil. And when man chooses to follow the devil, he ends up there with the devil. You find that in Matthew 25:41. Now then, I've often thought about, just think how horrible that would be to never be able to pray again, never to see light again, to be in darkness, to be in that place of eternal pain, to be in a place where you'll never see your loved ones again because you are in a place where there is nothing but torment. I'll tell you, every time I think about it, it just puts a chill in my mind to think about how horrible hell is and the horror of hell. But I'll tell you what, there's a third thing. Not only will hell be horror because of its fire, and not only will it be horror because of its inhabitants, hell will be a horror because of the activities there. Notice how the Bible describes the activities. He said in Matthew 13:42, there will be gnashing of teeth. What's gnashing of teeth? That's to grate the teeth in pain. There will be a thirst that shall never be quenched. In Luke 16, what did the rich man say? He said, could Lazarus just dip his finger in water and cool my tongue? For I am tormented in this flame. Here is one tormented. And there will be a thirst that will never be quenched. But notice there will be no rest in hell. Take your Bible and go to the Revelation letter and the 14th chapter. In Revelation 14, look at what he says in verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. What a contrast to what he said earlier when he said that they who die in the Lord shall rest from their labor. Why? They're in heaven. There's rest in heaven, but there's no rest in hell. There's no peace in hell. I've had some people come to me and joke and say, you know, preacher, if I go to hell, it'll be all right because I'll be with my friends and we'll throw a party. I'll tell you, my friend, you're making a mockery of the teaching of God. That's not what my Lord said. He said there will be gnashing of teeth. There'll be no rest. Just think. And someone will say, well, they are figures of speech. Well, let's say they are. So what? Are they figures of comfort? No. Everything points to nothing but eternal pain. Why? You're away from the one who gives all comfort. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about the God of all comfort. God is the one who gives comfort. And I thought about the horrors of hell. But then if you take your Bible, go back to the 18th Psalm. And when you come back to the 18th Psalm, notice again what the psalmist had to say, and it's a powerful statement. And I would that we had time to examine it further. But when you come to the 18th Psalm, notice with me in about verse 5. The sorrows of Sheol surround me. The snares of death confronted me. Look at that word, sorrows. You ever thought about in hell, there'll be nothing but sorrow. There'll be nothing but pain. There'll be nothing but heartache. Have you ever thought of the horror of hell? But I want to bring a fourth thing to your mind. The horror of hell will be because you'll have your memory. And there's nothing that can haunt one any more and bring despair than memory. Memory of sins linger on. Never forgotten. You'll remember everything you've done. Everything you could have repented of and changed, but never did. Memories will linger. And you know, memories can be a blessing or a curse. Can you imagine being in hell and remembering that God loved you, but you didn't reciprocate the love? Remembering that from a child you might have heard about John 3:16. You might have heard that God loved you and that God wanted to save you, but you didn't want to have any part with God. You wanted to live your way. You wanted to do your thing, and you weren't concerned about following God's will. And to think of all the sermons you've heard from Brother Guy and others who've proclaimed the truth of God to warn you about this place, and you've rejected it. I'll tell you something, my friend. I don't know if we ever can get into our mind the horror of hell. And you think about the sacrifice of people made in order for you to hear the truth and obey the truth. I'll tell you, I've had friends and family go to loved ones and try to get them to come back to the Lord, and they come up with some of the most silly excuses. And I'll tell you, my friend, on the day of judgment, my Lord will not accept excuses. And I thought about the memory of the unsaved. You ever thought of the rich man in hell? What did he say? He said, "Send Lazarus to my brothers so they don't come to this place." I'll tell you, I've had some people tell me, if my loved one's in hell, I want to be there with them. I'll tell you something, my friend, if your loved one's in hell, they don't want you there with them. That's what that rich man said. But then I want you to think of something else. Hell will be a horror because it's forever. It's eternal. Once you're there, there's no getting down. Once you're there, it'll be for all eternity. And just as long as life eternal is for the righteous, so it will be for the wicked. Some people say, "Oh no, they'll be burned up, or they'll be extinguished, and they'll be annihilated. I'll tell you, my friend, that's not what the Bible says. I beg to differ with that view 100%. If heaven is eternal, so is hell. Look back in the Bible in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter just to prove that point a little bit further. And look at what he says in Matthew 25 in verse 46. These will go away into everlasting punishment. Underscore everlasting. But the righteous into eternal life. If heaven's eternal, then hell is eternal. And there's no escaping it. And there's no way to argue yourself out of it. In Matthew 7, look at what it said in verse 21. In Matthew 7, you'll remember that there were people that on the day of judgment were making an argument against God. Look at what he says in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Look, they've done great works. They preached, they did certain things, but notice what he says in verse 23. I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Why? Go back to verse 7. They did not do the will of their Father. I'll tell you, that's a powerful thought. That once you're there, my friend, you're there forever. Body and soul. Matthew 10:28. One last thing in the lesson, yours. Why would you want to go there? Why on earth is worth losing your soul over? There's no reason for you desire to go there. There's no reason for you to go there. I was watching a clip one time of this fellow, and he made a statement that just really shocked me. And it was a show, but I thought it was an interesting statement. He had done something wrong, and he's made the statement. He said, "Will I have to pay for this someday?" He said, "Perhaps." But he said, "Right now I'm on my time. I'm going to do my thing." I'll tell you something, my friend. That's the height of arrogance when you go before the throne of God. And God will judge you. And will be judged by this word. You can do your own thing here, but I'll tell you, my friend, you'll have to pay the consequence. And God has done everything to save us. It is a time to escape the horror of hell and be prepared to enjoy the bliss of heaven. One question. If you died right now, would you see the marvel of heaven or the horror of hell? Only you know your heart.